evening. Let's just pray. I don't know if you know the prayer to the Holy Spirit through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, but I'll just pray it, and you can just follow along. But it's always, I love, it's so beautiful to give a little talk in front of the Lord exposed in the Eucharist. There's such a difference. So, yeah, let's just really open our hearts to what the Lord wants to do tonight. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Holy Spirit, you are the love between the Father and the Son. Jesus, you breathed upon your apostles in the upper room, so filled them with your gift of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Jesus, to breathe upon us tonight. Breathe upon us tonight. Fill us with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Fill us completely from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Stir up your Holy Spirit that is already within us through the gifts of baptism and confirmation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I was prepared to just give a really simple meditation and just, kind of ease into the night. And that's what I was planning on doing. But I just, I sat down to pray before coming over, and I just really sensed the Lord wanted me to talk about the Holy Spirit. And that began my fight with Jesus, you know? And I was like, no, I don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's like, you've been talking about love all weekend. And I'm like, I know. And he's like, well, the Holy Spirit is love, right? So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And the saints often say that the Holy Spirit is like Saint Joseph. He's forgotten, right? I think we concentrate so much on God the Father and on Jesus, which is beautiful, obviously. But we hear, at least I do, so little of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful to have a big statue of St. Joseph over there. I think so little about the Holy Spirit, and we talk so little about the Holy Spirit. I remember giving a talk to a bunch of seventh graders, and I was like, who's the Holy Spirit? And nobody answered, and I was like, oh, no, you know. And then finally one kid sheepishly put his hands up, and I said, yes, yes. And he said, that's the bird, right? I said, yeah, it's the bird. It's the dove, right? So the Holy Spirit is the one who descends upon Jesus at his baptism, right? Remember, Jesus gets pointed out by John, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. The same words that we repeat at Mass. And then John takes Jesus into the Jordan River, and I love it. In the Gospel of Mark, in the other Gospels it said a voice was heard. In the Gospel of Mark it says this, it says the heavens were torn open. Isn't that beautiful? No details in the Gospel are unimportant. When the Gospels say that the heaven, so much for the quiet meditation, right? When the Gospels say that the heavens are torn open, and a voice from the Father is heard, what it's Mark is indicating is this, that the Father was so desperate, excited, thrilled to pour forth the Holy Spirit upon Jesus and confirm him as his beloved Son, that he tore the heavens open. Isn't that beautiful? It's like your kids, right? It always used to drive me crazy when I'd give my grandma a Christmas present. She'd be like, you know? Take her 45 minutes. I'm like, Grandma, open the present. You know what it is. It's chocolate-covered pretzels, right? Just open it up. What do kids do? They just tear it up. Remember how we talked about God the Father being childlike? He tears the heavens open, right? And what is heard? His voice, you are my beloved. And the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Ladies, I'm convinced the Lord wanted me to speak about the Holy Spirit tonight because he wants to tear the heavens open for you tonight. He wants to tear the heavens open for you tonight, and he wants to baptize you in his Holy Spirit. baptized, the word comes from baptizein. It simply means to be immersed or to be plunged into. I think why the Lord wanted me to speak about the Holy Spirit tonight is because that's what he wants to do. He wants to stir up within us once again, fill us once again with his gift of the Holy Spirit. And who imparts the gift of the Holy Spirit in the upper room upon the apostles when Jesus walks through the door? Jesus, by his ruah, by his breath. So, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. And that love is what comes into you and gathers you into this Trinitarian communion of ecstatic love that is the Holy Trinity. So I want to start at the ascension, right? I'm not going to talk for too long. But the ascension of Jesus. Remember, Jesus is risen from the dead and he takes his disciples out to Mount Tabor, right? And he's about to ascend into the heavens and they ask a question, you know? They ask this question. It's hard to believe. After all this time, they ask, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And I'm ad-libbing here, but Jesus goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe you asked that. You know, like, it's like, really? We've had all this time? Like, you're right before I go to... And basically he says, no. He says, it's not for you to know the times and the season. But let me just... He's saying, no, I'm not going to restore the kingdom. You know who's going to restore the kingdom? You are going to restore the kingdom. When Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons when all this have happened, what he's saying is, I'm not going to restore the kingdom that you, my apostles, all of you, my disciples that come afterwards, you'll be the ones who restore the kingdom to Israel. And the apostles react appropriately. What do they say? Who are we? Who are we to bring the kingdom of God to bear in the world? Who am I to bring the kingdom of God to bear in the world? We're a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and fishermen. I don't know what else they did. Who are we to do this? And I love what Jesus says, right? Ladies, God never flatters us. He always affirms us, but he never flatters us. Remember when Moses, right, burning bush happens and Moses has just fled from Egypt, right, 7 years ago because they were trying to kill him. And God says, I'd like you to go back to Egypt, right? And Moses says, what? Excuse me? Like, I'm the guy they were trying to kill. Remember 7 years ago they tried to kill me, I ran away, right? Moses says, who am I to do that? And God doesn't say this. Oh, Moses, you're so smart. I'm sure you'll do great. He doesn't say, Moses, you're like such a good speaker. You're really good. I'm sure Pharaoh will listen to you. No. What does God say? I will be with you. Isn't that beautiful? I will be. No, you're going to go back to Pharaoh. You're going to go back there, not by your own power, but I'm going to be with you. It's almost like Jesus, God is like, get it? Like, I'm going to be with you, so don't worry about it. Ladies, when you leave here tomorrow, and let's not start thinking about leaving here tomorrow, but when you leave here tomorrow, what God wants to say to you is this. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. You're not going alone. You are never be alone again. I will be with you. When Ezekiel and Jeremiah cry out, I can't be a prophet to this nation. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. What does God say? Oh, I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. I will be with you. I will be with you. So what Jesus says to them is, guys, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, you will be clothed with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and to the ends of the world. But when he says you'll be clothed with power from on high, the word for power is dynamis in Greek, which is where we get our word for dynamite. When Jesus says, I'm going to clothe you with power, what he's saying is, this power is so explosive, the only thing I can compare it to is dynamite. Dynamite. Peter Maurin, who was the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement with Dorothy Day, said this, we've taken the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, we've put it in a nice Tupperware container, we've sat on the lid. It's time to open it up, amen? It's time to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us once again. And what power is that? The power of love. The power of the love of God changes everything. That's the power. They go back to Jerusalem. Bless you. Remember? Maybe that was the Holy Spirit. Alrighty, hitting her, boom. Remember what happens? They're in the upper room, and the doors were locked. You know why the doors were locked? Because they were scared. They were afraid. I believe the only reason they stayed in that upper room together was because of the Blessed Mother was there with them. You know, they're probably trying to run. She's grabbing them by the ear, get back here, you know. Get back here, Peter. James, John, they're in that upper room together. I've been to the upper room. It's probably a third the size of this chapel. Probably a third. We're in the upper room tonight, ladies. We are in the upper room tonight. Do you think God was any more present there than he is here? God was no more present in that Jerusalem upper room than he is present here in this Alhambra upper room. Did I say that name properly? He's here. Like right here. They're waiting and praying. What are we doing? We're waiting and we're praying. And then all of a sudden, in that upper room, it's my best wind impression. This strong driving wind fills the room. Remember what happened in the first creation in the book of Genesis? God's, the ruah, his breath, breathed over the waters, bringing it to life. What we're supposed to know is that this is a new creation happening. Ladies, I'm convinced that tonight God desires to make you new by the power of his love. I'm convinced tonight that God wants to bring new life into your hearts. And then my favorite part, tongues as a fire. Come down and separate and rest above their heads. I really hope this happens tonight. That'd be amazing. Rests above their heads. I love the image of fire in the scriptures. You know what Hebrews 12:29 says? I'd be impressed if you did. Hebrews 12:29 says this, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You know the highest choirs of angels? There's 9 choirs of angels. The highest choirs of angels are called the... Is anybody here Catholic? The highest choirs of angels are called the seraphim. And seraphim's a Hebrew word. You know what that means? The burning ones. Isn't that awesome? The ones who burn. You know why they burn? Because they're the ones closest to God. You know what the saints did? They burned. They burned with the love of God. That's why the Sacred Heart, when we see images of the Sacred Heart, there's images of the Sacred Heart all over here, the place, but there's none in here. Images of the Sacred Heart, what does it have coming out of his heart? Fire. Fire. The love of God is consuming fire. When God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. He led them by a column of, say fire. When God descended upon Mount Sinai to give Moses the Ten Commandments, he descended in a cloud of. When Jesus spoke in the Gospel of John, he said, I came to light a fire on the earth, and how I wish it were. How long to see the flame leap up. How I wish it were burning. Our God is a consuming fire. The love of the Holy Spirit is fire in your souls. Fire in your souls. They start to speak in tongues, 15 different languages. They thought there were 15 languages in the whole world, which meant that the gospel was meant to go out to the whole world. Here's the point, ladies. More powerful than the divine pyrotechnics that night, and they were amazing, is what happened in their hearts. More amazing than the wind and the fire and the tongues is what happened in their hearts. And what happened in their hearts? They went in a moment from fear to trust. How many of you want to go from fear to trust tonight? They went in a moment from jealousy to generosity, from cowardice to courage, from despair to hope, from sadness to uncontainable joy. From sadness to uncontainable joy. That night in the upper room, that is not so different from this night in the upper room, their lives were completely transformed by the life changer. And there's one thing to change our lives. Only one thing that changes our lives. Love. The love of God is the Holy Spirit. They busted open those doors. I don't recommend doing that tonight in this. Sisters would be like, get them. They busted open the doors, didn't they? And they went out and preached the gospel. Where? To the whole world. And they couldn't be stopped unless they were killed. And when they were killed, the faith only grew there. That's why we're so annoying as Christians, right? Every time they kill us, we just grow up more. It's like, don't kill them. They keep growing. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. How many of you have been baptized? That's all of you. How many of you have been confirmed? That's all of you. If nobody has, I can confirm you tonight. You have the same Holy Spirit within you. There is no less of the Holy Spirit within you than was in Peter. There is no less of the Holy Spirit within you than there was in the great St. Paul, the greatest evangelist of all time, Pope Benedict said. There is no less of the Holy Spirit in you than is in me. There is no less of the Holy Spirit in you than is in these holy sisters. Sister Juliana? Why do they get the good seats up there in the upper deck, you know? It's like, I always forget these are being recorded. You have been clothed with power from on high. St. Thomas Aquinas asked, why are people who have been baptized and confirmed and living a sacramental life, why don't they have a dynamic relationship with God? How is that possible? St. Thomas Aquinas was one of the greatest theologians in the church. And you've experienced this. You go into Catholic churches and often they're dead. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the movie The Sixth Sense. I see dead people, right? How is that possible? Thomas Aquinas asked. He said this. He said, because the gift of the Holy Spirit needs stirred up. He said, I don't know what the Latin term is, he said that the Holy Spirit can lay dormant within us. Maybe you've heard this really simple analogy of the chocolate milk. Imagine if you had a glass of milk, whole milk. It's the only way to drink chocolate milk. And you poured Hershey syrup in. Would it be chocolate milk yet? Because all the chocolate would go? What do you got to do? You got to stir it up, ladies. You got to stir that chocolate in the milk. Or it's like one of those snow globes. You guys have those here? It's the only way you guys get snow in California, right? One of those snow globes. I was with my nephews a few weeks ago, and my mom has a favorite snow globe. And my little four-year-old nephew had it in his hands. And I thought, oh no. And he shook it. And I didn't get there in time. And I saw the globe pop out of the case and go to the floor and whoosh, shattered on the ground. And we both looked at each other and thought, we're dead. My mom and your grandmother is going to kill us. It needs shaken up. Shaken up. Breathed upon. St. Thomas Aquinas says, we need stirred up every once in a while. The power of the Holy Spirit that lay within us needs stirred up. That's why we come on retreats. That's why we listen to beautiful music like we're going to listen to in a minute. That's why I'm going to bless you with the monstrance. Me, not me, Jesus, is going to bless you with the monstrance. Because we need the power of the Holy Spirit to be stirred up within our lives. Amen? We need it. We need it. And I'm going to go get vested here in just a minute. And I'm going to come out, and you guys know I'll stand here and bless each one of you. This is what I would say. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Remember, the word baptize simply means plunge. So all you're asking for is, hey, Jesus, plunge me in love. Sounds pretty good, right? Plunge me in love tonight. And just let him wash you fully with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus asked, the Lord, I think, led me to give this talk tonight. Because I could have given a talk telling you, oh, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And that would have been okay. But better to activate the love that he has within your souls already. So, it's going to be a quiet, contemplative night. And it's a night where we're praying that the Holy Spirit would fall on us again and stir up within us again. So when you come up here and kneel and get your blessing, and you just beg for that grace. Jesus, fill me, baptize me, clothe me with the power and the fire and the love of your Holy Spirit. And then when you go back to your chair, keep praying for the Holy Spirit. Listen to the music. Let it wash over you. Come, Holy Spirit, and pray for everyone else. You know why? Because we're a team. We're a family, right? All of us are in it together in this upper room. So let's pray for each other tonight in these next few moments that we have, that God would, that he change our lives like he changed those first apostles.